everyone, it's Mandy with Global Hemp Association. I just wanted to give a shout out to all of our sponsors. It's been incredible working with each of you. Without you, we wouldn't be able to complete the projects that we have and get our seeds in the ground for this year's fiber variety trials. So thank you for everything that you've contributed. For anybody else, if you're interested in getting involved and want to contribute or sponsor, please reach out. We can make it happen.
And we're live. Hello, hello. I just realized we put the same commercial on twice, accidentally pressed the wrong button. So bummer. I've got these awesome video editors that do these great little commercials for us. And I have two new really cool commercials and I'm trying to share one with you.
So, love them. Anyways, yeah.
Hello, hello, Parv. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited about this interview. Hello for everybody else that's chiming in and listening. Please let us know. Say hello. I see you on Facebook, Twitch, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And just a reminder, these are all recorded, edited, and then reshared on multiple podcast channels. So if getting on and watching the video is a little bit challenging, which I get that it is, it's really awesome because you can restream and play on all of our podcasts moving forward with Mandy Kurt. And so when you do log on today, let us know where you're coming in from. Let us know what you do and who you are. I'm really excited about this conversation and Parv's experience in the industry and just kind of share what you've got going, Parv. And so you want to kind of tell us a little bit about who you are and where you came from. And
wow. Yeah. Yes, yes. I'm an artist. And, you know, first of all, before we begin, thank you, Mandy. And yes. Thank you to Global Hemp Association for trailblazing sustainability. I think that we are in a very interesting time right now where the industry is definitely shifting. And so those old days of running into the law have been quite the journey for some. And I'm just blessed to be here right now with you in this light. So thank you. Thank you to the hemp community as well for being a part and supporting this. Also talking about fashion. And I just want to give a big shout out to Jack Herr. He's the OG trailblazer. His book, Emperor Wears No Clothes, changed my life. And that's why we're here today talking. So
I love it. It's funny that you say this because I try to think, like, I work with a lot of students, right? And a lot of students that are very removed from the hemp industry. And I always try to think, like, what is the book? What is the one book that I could give them that would give them the most insight to the whole picture, right? Understanding, because there's some controversy on like what's real and what's not, and some of the exaggeration, right? Yeah. About the whole hemp story. But that's the book I give them.
Nice.
That's the Emperor Wears. Yeah. Yeah. And so anyways, long story short. Well,
he breaks it down in a very cool way, not to go off on a tangent. That's another cool conversation, but he breaks it down in a way that we can understand, just
relate.
Don't study hemp on an everyday basis like yourself. So definitely it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Cool. Okay. So what got you into hemp? Before we kind of dive into what you're doing, what brought you into this industry?
Yeah. So it definitely starts with the book in terms of I was working in fashion at the time. Yeah. So, and in New York City, and a friend of mine gave me this book in 2005. And I started to read about the hemp plant, and coming in from luxury fashion, you work with a lot of materials that aren't hemp based. And so ultimately hemp obviously has been around on a medicinal level as well as an industrial level. We mostly know it as a medicinal level, but, and so as I started to learn more about it, I was really impressed with what was happening. So, like appreciating cotton, amazing, it's everywhere. But I was like, what's that alternative? And when I read about hemp, I was like, I'd love to explore with this plant. And it was so hard to get by in the beginning, just access to it in any way. And, you know, it's starting to change. And there's a lot to share with you about that as well. So
I'm excited.
We found it.
I'm so excited. Well, and I want to give a little spoiler, but I'm wearing one of your tunics, right? One of the dresses. And so
it is so cute.
Okay, but it's so comfortable. So tell me real quick, talk to me about your company. What is Namaste? What is it? What are you doing? What's it mean? Yeah, talk to me.
So I love luxury. I just have to share with you, I love luxury. And luxury comes in different ways. For me, what I've learned about luxury in terms of working for these high-end fashion houses, Valentino, Gucci, Armani. And, you know, luxury has an aesthetic of like intention. And intention is specifically done. And it could be in textiles, it could be in design, and it could be in materials. And so Namaste, I love luxury. Namaste is an eco-futurist brand working with hemp and innovative materials. And we're cultivating art and design within the materials. So we just launched in Los Angeles after a year and a half. And one of the intentions was we want plant-based materials. And I'm talking zero plastic, meaning no synthetics or nylons or polyesters. Mm-hmm. And I'm just digging and I'm finding some really amazing things happening in this space right now.
Okay, so you said a lot of key words like sustainability and fashion. Kind of talk to me about how hemp plays that role. You know, where was your aha moment to say this is something that's going to work and really hit on those key, you know, being able to be something that is luxury and sustainable, right? Before they weren't really in the same conversation. And so
Yeah, it's funny. I guess hemp was always looked at as like being hippy dippy.
Yeah.
I just say it like, you know, you would go to the farmers markets and they were like selling these hemp bags, which is awesome. But at the same time, hemp is being woven and now utilized and natural fibers are being understood in certain ways that we can actually create really cool design with these natural fibers and that are kind of considered like a cotton or a linen. They fall into that category. But luxury, real true luxury, new luxury is sustainable zero plastic materials. That's our ethos here. And that's what we try to strive for and kind of share.
I love it. Okay. So talk to me. And I know that we didn't talk about this very much before, but I'm curious, consumer demand, right? The consumers are really pulling for the transparency and understanding, like you said, the luxury being or understanding what the impact to our earth is, right? And the impact to the people are. So can you talk to me a little bit about where that's playing a big role in this, you know, company and in your efforts?
Yeah, so I feel like being a designer, you are someone who has output. You know, you can output via canvas with paint, you can output via cooking, you can output. So me as a designer, I'm constantly outputting. I'm outputting materials, I'm outputting packaging. And so as a designer, back to our idea of sustainability and how you're understanding how are we approaching it, I've worked in fashion houses where there was a lot of waste. So I remove myself for certain reasons. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is my heart. I'm very heart intentioned and aligned. Yeah. So I got to do things that I fall in alignment with. And so I took a step back, was researching. And, you know, as I started to develop this idea of Namaste and how to reapproach it as a contributor to output to the world, I was like, how are we going to do this in the most eco way? So even bioplastics, which like disintegrate, or natural fibers that, you know, take sometimes just months in a compost to decompose. Mm-hmm. And versus we see these horror stories of landfills, and I've been a part of that. I am a part of that. We're trying to change the path, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting for Namaste in terms of our path of being someone who outputs to show awareness to new, cool materials in a fun, cool, intentional designer way. And it takes channeling in order to really do it with the right approach. And it's good.
Okay, I want to dive into what that approach looks like. But before I do, I want to say hello to everybody that's listening. Thank you so much for saying hi. Hi, Karen. It's great to see you on today. It's John. It's always great to see you. Stephen, we just spoke the other day. It's great to talk. Norman, Hector, hello. Shane. Again, if anybody has any questions, don't hesitate to jump in. You know, this is a topic. The textile space is really, it's really exciting. It's something a lot of people are talking to, and understanding our industry is really grasping the need for technology in order to bridge this gap and bring product to market. So can you kind of talk to me about strategy there, and what does that look like to develop this, and maybe some hurdles that you're running into or obstacles you guys have overcome in bringing product all the way to a finished good, you know, hemp material. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I think, so working with material scientists that are out there, and you're constantly digging. And so you find these small micro brands that are testing materials, and it's challenging because they only have so much supply. They only have so much testing that's been happening. And so we're kind of also working with them to put trust and be kind of the initial voices, and also testing products with them. So, you know, we use this coconut hemp out of Southern India. And it's not like, you know, we want to test it because we're voices for our supporters as well. Yeah. We're like, hey, this is zero plastic. And then they later discover it's not. And we didn't take the extra step. I feel like we're kind of responsible. So I want to do our part as best as possible if we can and have the capacity to test things. So, you know, we'll even take it to a matter of, this is like a cool fashion trick, is if you want to light something on fire, not that I'm telling people to light their clothing on fire or their whole.
This is a thing, yes. If it melts and drips.
If it melts and drips, there's some sort of synthetic in there. And if it goes to ashes, hallelujah. So, you know, we did this, and with one of our other manufacturers who develop a very cool material. It's Miram out of Peoria, Illinois. They're super cool. Dr. Luke, he's a scientist, super awesome guy. I met him at LA Fashion Week, but they're developing a bio rice hull natural rubbers material that also, when I first was testing with them, and you're asking me, well, how are we doing this? What are we doing? What are the steps? It's trusting and also testing. And so we, you know, took a piece of the material. We also lit it on fire, and, you know, and it's always that feeling of how is this going to work? But it worked, and it was so amazing, and it's exciting. And that's what amps us. It fuels us, because we are the voice for not only these creators, but for people. They want new products, and they want natural, sustainable products. And back to your question, it's because people are now asking, and they understand, and it's so amazing. And I'm learning too. It's so good.
Well, and I've said this a few times, but I still look back 2 years, 3 years ago when I started this, how disconnected I was from where my clothes came from. It was a major aha moment for me, connecting that $1 t-shirt to the people. Like, how are we paying $5 for a shirt and it came from another country and it had to be grown, sewn, manufactured, shipped, stocked, boxed, packaged? Yeah, it was a real eye opener for me, and how we have this opportunity to make change today. Right.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that story. I think we've all had that story. I've definitely had that story. You know, I grew up in a Punjabi American family. My mom straight up came from the boat here from India. And I was born and raised in California. So we have two different views, right? And so she came in very frugal. So I shopped at Goodwill growing up. But when you're young, you're like, all right, cool. I can make fashion look good. You're not paying attention to what material it is, right? Totally. And so then as you get older, you're still looking cool in your swag. But then as you learn, and now I'm like, wow, I want to take steps to, you know, support and find materials that aren't polyester. And we'll ultimately get there. But again, it takes designers, not to say like myself, but I'm someone who outputs fashion. So I feel like it would be awesome for designers just really start merging in that direction.
Well, and I want to give a shout out. You'd said it earlier to Luke and what he's doing with his
fabric. Yay!
We interviewed him. For those of you who have not seen his interview, look him up on our YouTube channel. He is a rock star. His name has come up actually multiple times in the last few days. So it's really funny. It's interesting to me how synchronicity and how, you know, the world has just brought, there have been a number of times I've said, man, we need to talk to material science people. And then all of a sudden on my calendar, we've got you know, experts in chemicals and experts in plastic manufacturing, you know, that are saying we're looking to make an impact on the material science side. And it was like,
awesome.
So yeah, so awesome. So there's a couple of questions right here, and I've got this one I'm curious about, kind of off the beaten path, but what's your opinion on sustainable hemp dyes and fit and finishes?
So sustainable hemp dyes and hemp finishes. I mean, are you referring to in terms of utilizing hemp to make dyes?
I would say what's your opinion on that? You know, I don't know the question, but what is your, because I think that's fabulous, but I'm also curious too, where does sustainability, how is sustainability affected by dyes and finishes?
That's a good, great question. So in other words, if you're using synthetic dyes on natural hemp, right, mm-hmm. or natural fibers, you know, it's much better than it not being natural fiber, right? Let's just first give like props to that. But I think that, and we all do it, we're still trying to master those practices of natural dyeing versus synthetic dyeing. Are we a culprit of that when we were initially testing? Yes, now we're going into like natural dyes. And even though they're micro in terms of the effect it can make, it's still making an effect in terms of if we're talking about millions, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and that's another part we're learning, we're finding accessible ways. We're getting into natural dyeing now. We're working with local dyers in LA. Hillary Hahn's another amazing local LA artist here who does natural dyeing. So we're like working with her. And we're there, we're bringing it. It's so exciting because as you start to dig, you see people are kind of starting their pilot projects of creating these new ways of living and utilizing materials, really. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you'd mentioned earlier raising awareness, right? And combining it with higher fashion and higher consciousness. Can you kind of talk to me? Yeah, talk to me a little bit about this. Give me some more detail about, you know, what are you doing there?
Yes. Yeah, so great question. Like, you know, it's higher. So everything is intentional with what Namaste does here. And one of the things is in Namaste, our design vernacular is we use a sacred geometry. We make use of the sacred geometry structures, and there's different sacred geometry structures which connect us to the highest potentials of human consciousness. And so if you think about it, think of like a heart, right? Yeah. Anytime you see a heart, it doesn't matter. It's just going to bring you high vibes and you'll feel good. So sacred geometry has those elements and they're hidden. And when we look at them, there's something that just like sparks us. And so we use those design elements within our bags. And as a matter of fact, I got to give props to one of our bags.
Yes, please.
Bags that is in prototype design and it uses a sacred geometry.
I want to see that bag. Show that thing off. I want
yes,
to see
yes, showing it off. Here we go. Oh, here we go.
Cute.
Yes, and so you can see the style of it, and we have sacred geometry detailing on the bottom. Those are all aligned a certain way with the flower of life.
And is that a backpack style?
This is a kind of messenger style. It can be backpack as well, or it could be shoulders. So that's another part of our accessories is we design ergonomically to like do certain things because sometimes we want that multi-use bag. But so back to what you were saying about sacred geometry and high fashion, high consciousness, you know, we work with the flower of life and bringing those elements and resonating with the highest vibration.
Okay, so talk to me about consumers, right, and our markets. As we're moving materials into market, right, who are we targeting? Who are you targeting?
Yeah, so we talked about the existing, like, hippie market in the hemp that exists because that's where I came from. But sure. Really what's happening is we're aiming towards people who are looking, because everyone is constantly shifting and changing, but our demographics are people who are into fashion, who are always looking for something new and interesting. But more importantly now, the word sustainability and understanding materials, people are becoming aware of that. So they're being very selective with how they're buying now. And you know, those demographics change, but there's definitely a nice group of people that are in that space, and they're the ones that are the initial supporters that are spreading it out there. And we're only doing good if you think about it. It's like we're creating a material that can really just go right back to the earth. So yeah, it's really good.
I love it. Here's a question, and I'm just curious about your opinion, and then I'll kind of give some feedback. But what types of clothing will have the greatest positive impact on our environment made from hemp?
Well, okay. So, then we just think of the things like common items, t-shirt, underwear. Underwear is a big one. Socks. These are kind of like the basics. You don't have
to. We're rebuying all the time. The waste is huge.
Yes. And for the most part, if you look around the world, everyone is wearing a t-shirt, socks, and underwear for the most part, you know?
Yeah.
And even if they're designed or something, these are standard garments that everyone is using. And so that's important. I mean, yes.
Yeah. 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 Well, and that's a great perspective. This is another thing that I was so far disconnected is the term fast fashion.
Yeah.
And understanding the amount of waste that is added, you know? And so when we look at like, where are we making the biggest impact? Where are we creating the most waste right now? Mm-hmm. Right. And how can we change, like you said, from the plastic or the synthetics to a natural fiber that is in addition. Okay. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, and especially working with Luke, and some of his materials, right? Talk to me about the time at which it lasts, your material lasts, right? Because that also is very obvious. When I spend $5 on a t-shirt, the quality of my clothing is fast fashion. You wear it for a couple of times and then it goes into the garbage or it stains, it wears funny, it shrinks. And so, yeah, I'm curious, that really impacts our footprint.
That's a really good question. So it goes back to a leather. Let's use leather. Leather can last for eons. Like I'm talking decades to maybe a century. You know, we've seen leather. So think about that in terms of true sustainability. And it's animal hide. So ultimately it can be retired back to the earth. Now, what if we had that same method that leather is able to give us and capabilities and utilize that concept into other raw materials that are natural? And that's what's happening. So when you ask questions like, what's Mirum doing? I mean, if you look at this material, oh my God, we have this amazing hip star that's from Mirum, from Illinois. Dr. Luke, thank you for creating this material. And this is made out of Mirum's rice wool. It's a bio-based material, natural rubbers. When you feel it, you touch it, it's supple. You can really throw it around. And I love throwing things around because you really want to see like what it can take. And so back to your question of, well, then sustainability. Well, since there's zero plastic in here, it's definitely going to retire back to the earth much more rapidly than, let's say, something that wasn't. So that is one of the materials that's really solid. Another material we were working with from India, and I got to share this with you. This is coconut and hemp. This is one of our new totes that's pre-sale dropping today. This is our origami tote. It's made out of one sheet. And back to what you were talking about in terms of material sustainability, what lasts, what doesn't, is so a material like this, it's pretty strong. We've done like the tarot test. We're like, I'm throwing it around. I've thrown this bag around a lot so many times. And I need to do that. So if a customer's coming to me or someone who's supporting us is like, oh, my bad, we can be like, yeah, you're right. Or we've tested it, maybe something else, or, you know, and we're constantly learning. And so, but I want to feel confident putting a material out there that either has a durability, the longevity. So the hemp t-shirt, you're wearing it. You're the hemp tuna. So wash it. You know what's interesting with this hemp material, by the way? It's jersey, which means jersey in fashion terms means it has the ability to stretch. Typical jersey has a lycra or a synthetic or spandex in it. This jersey, it's the way it's woven gives it the ability to stretch. So it grows, but I'll tell you one thing for anyone who decides to support us and buy one of our hemp tees or tunics is, so it's kind of like a sweater. You wear it the first few times, it fits perfectly, but then it starts to grow, right? And if you wanted to not shrink back, but go back to your body size, you can also wash it. Why not wash it after a few wears? And then put it in the dryer and voila, it's like perfect again. And so I just want to share with you that, but you can keep washing it. I've washed this so many times and it's so amazing. It's good.
Well, I love mine. I literally put it on and my daughter was like, "Mom, where did you get that?" So it's awesome. I love it. Love it. I love it. I'm really tall, right? And so I love it because it was long enough and it fit and it fits. You say it's jersey. And when I think jersey, I think of like a cotton t-shirt, but it feels dressier. I mean, the material is fabulous. And so I can see where you say that it's woven different because it feels different. I love it. It's absolutely beautiful. So
great.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. I'm excited. I did share the address. I'll share or the website again. Do you want to let us know where they go?
So we just launched our site a few months ago and it's been amazing. It's all handmade images. The font is custom made hand design that I've made. There's all sorts of funky, cool animations. It's relative to sacred geometry in fun ways. There's animation videos. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But for the site, for the All Goods, so All Goods is the name of our area where people are shopping and everything is all good. And so you can go there and take a look. There's some pre-sale items for the tote, which we're dropping today. This is a limited run. This is made with one sheet of material. Origami has a hemp leather, 100% hemp leather. Hemp webbing. And we have another pouch that's also for pre-sale. And that's here. And it's kind of a little more sleek. You can pop your phone in there, your wallet, your keys, and kind of call it a day and just start moving around. And then we have the hemp tunic that you have on that's ready to ship. And then the hemp t-shirt that's ready to ship. So yeah, some fun products.
I kind of have a problem. Like I'm addicted to bags. And so now I'm like, oh, good.
Oh, you're going to love the tote. The tote
And the little pouch.
It has a pocket on the inside. It has a pocket. You could pop your phone. You can
see Okay. So talk to me about, as we talk about scale, and maybe this isn't where you're buying material, but talk to me about scale of this industry, right? And where are we now compared to where do we need to be so that we can kind of meet demand on or meet markets where we're, I don't know how to say this. How do we bring more material into mainstream, right? What is needed to really expand the supply chain so that we have more?
Yeah, that's a good question, especially in hemp. And as you know, you're out on the fields talking to people and watching your videos like that. What you're learning, and I can attest to and share as well, is hemp's not easy to get access to. There's not a lot being grown. So first of all, there is no, the supply is in demand, but there's no demand because also the prices are higher and there's not a lot of it being made. And people are just starting to kind of get into the idea of hemp. So I think there's a lot of interesting points right there.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious, you know, maybe as if something comes up, let me know. But I am definitely interested. What is needed and what is your perspective?
So what is needed? Good question. So I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and people in the industry that you definitely know of and have probably interviewed a few, you know, Larry Serban, also big props to you, Larry. You're a super rock star. And Larry's awesome. He's here in LA as well. And I'm always running into him at the textile show. But we actually... this hemp we sourced through Larry. So, and Larry's an amazing person who's been doing this for some time, researching hemp material. So when you ask the question of, well, how can we bring more of it and do more of it? Well, first of all, it's kind of, we can grow it. We can literally grow it anywhere, right? Actually, that's true, which is great. And then the other thing though, is like, how do we get the machinery to break it down? There's so many different processes to that. And that's the big issue, is once we master that, we can bring that machinery back to the States or wherever, and everyone can kind of have it sustainable for their own communities on micro levels. That would be so beautiful.
I totally agree with you. Bye, Maddie. My daughter just walked in and so I had to say hello, goodbye. She's waving at me. I completely agree with you. And I think that technology piece is is really critical, right? So that we can then, and people ask me all the time, well, if hemp is so great, then why aren't we seeing it everywhere?
Yeah. Right?
And we have to remember that we've got this gap in technology that still needs to be developed, or not necessarily developed, scaled.
Yes. Right?
There is tech out there. Look at what we're doing. It's incredible, right? Yeah. But
yeah. Thank you.
Back to my addiction of bags. I really am going to order some. And when
will those be
available? Yeah. Yes. When is that available?
This is available now, and there's an off white one. That's like a cool smooth white or the all. So yes, take a look. Available now. Yes.
Okay. Good, good, good. Well, I'm very, very excited. I encourage everybody else, please get on. Let's see what else we've got. There's been a ton of people and a ton of comments. So if you see any par that you want to, you know, feel free. Okay, Farm Bill has only just passed as well. You're exactly right, Rachel. And I think putting that into perspective, right, is that
we are
still new in this industry and we have a lot of growth. We have a lot of opportunity, and reality is we've got a lot more farm bills before we really start to see hemp mainstream. But I am passionate about connecting. And so I continue to ask, what can we do? Where can we really focus to help move that needle for organizations like yours that are putting product on the shelf and moving the market? And so
that's a good,
yeah,
that's a great question. I think in terms of that, it's supporting brands then that are utilizing the hemp. Because then in turn, we're going back and we're asking the manufacturers for more. Yes. And if we're not, they're like, okay, well, no one's asking, you know? So we're like, and so I think that is not to just to say, not just my brand, any brands that are promoting something really amazingly sustainable, we need to support them. And in terms of hemp, especially, and you know, it's kind of like if I'm working with one of our suppliers and I'm like, okay, people want this, it's hot. It also amplifies them. And it also gets people thinking about how to advance systems and technologies to be like, okay, we need this here then if people are wanting it. So we definitely need the support from the communities and people. And a part of that is through what we're doing to raise awareness and what you guys are doing with the Global Hemp Association to raise awareness and people who are buying it, supporting it and talking about it.
There've been a couple of questions in the chat that I've been following up on around the dyes and the GOTS standards. I don't know if you've seen those. One that was just asked is the comparison, the problem of synthetic versus natural dyes connected to textile organic standards. I think this is also related to the GOTS standard. Are you familiar with that?
Tell me again, repeat that. Yeah.
Let me see where the GOTS is right here. Here's one of the questions. Are you familiar with the Global Organic Textile Standard?
GOTS, I am. Yes.
Processes. Do you want to kind of speak to where that plays a role? There's more questions coming up of the organic, and maybe this isn't your, like you said, you work with material science and that's kind of there. But well,
this is great. I love getting educated in school. I'm like, oh my God, tell me more.
I've got to go on the next podcast.
I will give you an answer because now I love this because people are posing questions and they want to understand that better. So maybe that's something you can send me on the side and I would love to, you know, report back on that. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, and this is something that we can come up. We've talked a lot about the textile space. When I very first got into this, this is what really picked up the fastest. And again, where I was knocked off my chair in an aha moment again about how disconnected I was from what greenwashing was and where synthetics play a role in this organic textile or organic products or a product that's named a hemp plastic may only have 25% hemp in it. You know, and then the rest is really just other polymers. And so, you know, those types of things. But the GOTS standards, I think, is something that I've heard, you know, and I've brought up again, there's questions about how stable is it and people are poking holes in different types. But I think that this is what's needed and where hemp plays a role or has an opportunity to make a difference in the textile space, that it can be different from cotton or different from some of these others in their process, these other systems maybe, right? Or lend to a better system because of its capabilities. And so I would love to, I'll encourage everybody that's looking at more textile information, go to our YouTube channel, search textiles. We have interviewed a ton of different people on textiles and had a bunch of meetings. Most of our meetings are all transcribed and shared. They will be posted here to our website pretty soon where members will be able to log in and search. They're all tagged. But if you have questions or if you need need anything, I'll drop my email in here as well. Feel free to email me and get a hold of me and I can help connect you to answer some of the questions specific around the synthetics and the dyes and the standards. Because I know it's not just GOTS. There's a number of other standards or programs that give scores to sustainability or...
Yeah, is another one.
Yep.
And you know, I just want to add is GOTS is important in terms of but GOTS also needs to stand behind if they're going to give that certification. It's not to say like we're policing people who are utilizing terms that really aren't to standards, but we also shouldn't let it get away. Like, because that's not fair to the buyer if someone's mm-hmm. saying it's organic and it's not, or part of it is. And
well, and I think that that's it, right? Is the buyer wants the transparency. The buyer understands that there's these loopholes that I can go out and buy you know, this was put into perspective for me where hemp has a role to change or an opportunity to change in textiles when I learned that I could go out and buy two bales, one organic cotton and one non-organic cotton. And they come with a piece of paper and a label. And I'm going to sell the organic cotton the non-organic cotton as organic because I've got a label for it now. Right. And the ability then to just relabel or change some of those things and the brokenness of the system, right? And also understanding it's very challenging. They're very big industries. And so where does hemp play a role in fixing or preventing being the same, right? Yeah. Anyways, I could go off on a tangent about this.
And we're discovering this. We're discovering this, not to go off on a major tangent, but blockchain is important for that. Potentially, if we master how to receive that data and then sort of authenticate, you know, and then, you know, that'll be a potential, you know, cool space to go into to authenticate, really, because, you know, we need that basis. Thank you.
Well, yeah. Well, and that's another one. I've interviewed a number of different people that have some cool technology that's able to tag at a very microscopic level the fiber. Or the fabrics, you know, so then it can be identified also for brands, right? You know, that brands need to be able to identify, you know, what's actually theirs and what's been a knockoff. And
well, there's
all different parts to this textile.
Another conversation.
I love it. Yeah, I could go off for a long time. But again, I'm going to go back. If you guys have questions or specific topics that you want to address or anything, any interviews that you are looking for, please send them my way. I would love to help highlight people, you know, make connections, help you guys understand what's going on in different aspects of the industry. My focus is really to target people that are working with hemp or working outside of the industry that could potentially use hemp in their materials. And so material science, you know, I love that you keep bringing that up, Parv, because I think the material science space is really game changer for what's going to move material or move product into consumer goods. So it's pretty exciting.
Well, it's very exciting. I want to add to that is just in the space, it's like, you know, we're working with this coconut hemp and this rice hull natural rubber materials from Urum. And it's like, there are people making vegan alternatives and like apples and bananas and, you know, Pinatex, it's been out for some time. They do pineapples. And so people are they're researching and it's exciting because they're using plant life and plant, you know, we're having this beautiful symbiotic relationship with plants, which
and I think that's that paradigm shift, right? Of this awareness and what's coming. And Rachel, great point, right? Community is the answer. Working together in related and unrelated groups, checks and balances from within, accountability from within. I couldn't agree to this more. Like, you're exactly right, Rachel. And a new kind of business. I agree. Or a shift back to old business, right? We used to really be based on handshakes and relationships. And
yes.
You know, the phrase that people do business with those they know and like, it really is true. And I think we lost some of that in technology and this transaction based, but especially our younger generations really are paying attention to where they're spending their money and what impact they're making or who they're impacting. And so I think that this really is a paradigm shift or a new way of doing business, both on consumer and the B2B side. And so You have anything you want to add to that part?
Well, I love the fact that you're stating community is the answer, because it all happens with community. It's yeah. like the community coming together, like us supporting even on a micro level within your neighbors and, you know, assisting if someone needs potatoes or this or that. Like, are those days still happening in those relationships? Because that's where communication gets transferred. And if we're not transferring from an authentic, tangible, face-to-face feeling, the energy level, you start to question like certain realities, I guess. And, you know, you're right. In person, the handshakes, that's you feel the energy there. It's wonderful.
I love it. Love it. Love it. Karen mentioned earlier about the GOTS standard and the organic piece, and just saying that they're not supposed to have synthetic dyes, but it sounds like some of them may have slipped in, as a standard development. And I think that this is kind of that piece, right? Is as an organization staying involved in those standard developments so that we can set that standard and raise the bar, because just like in cannabis or in the hemp industry, it's been a critical piece for us ourselves to say, hey, we're going to raise up and kind of rise all tides. So I encourage that. And I think that this is a great comment too. I don't know if you've seen what Patagonia is also doing or what that they've, you know, really pushed lately. If you haven't, look up the commercial. It's very motivating. I hope that they, and I would love to see them follow through with it. And, you know, I'm excited, you know, being realistic about expectations, but speaking it, you know, and saying, listen, Earth is our focus and making the change for our people. And so it's pretty exciting.
Especially from a company that's doing, they have a major output, you know, and their initial ethos is to be one with the planet, but they probably caught themselves not doing that and are like, oh my gosh. And so, but that's amazing. See, that's just, I love it. There's another person here, Sahil. He's talking about the textile industry.
Yeah.
Has a significant impact on Indian economy. Yes, it does. And hemp's role in vertical integration in textile, a way to go. So he's a big supporter. You need to be there in India. He's then mentioning we have advanced materials to back the industries. I'm optimistic about the steps taken forward in the hemp industry. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that comment. Yes.
I agree. And I also am going to give props out, right? India really is leading the charge on a global scale for making changes and shifts to more sustainable practices within the industry. And I think hemp is a big place. We have some very active players in Global Hemp Association from India that are also working in the US, and it's impressive. Nice. It's fun. Just like with you, they've got great experience. And so it's been exciting, but I'm the most excited about materials that are actually moving into the market with hemp in them. How long do you think it's going to be before people are searching for a hemp material instead of, say, a sustainable material?
That's so cool. It's such a cool question. And, you know, it's like if we Google search to say how many times it populates, it's like down here.
Yeah.
But it's rising. That's the good thing. So it can be kind of like this, or it can be like pop, you know? And that's just a matter of the intention that we put out there with people like yourself, with like myself, who are out there putting the message out there and bringing the awareness to it. So it does take community. Back to what Rachel said. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I'm, you know, what is that? I was taken back recently when we did a search, just like you said, for how many people are searching for, say, hemp in sustainable materials, or hemp in bio-based plastics, or hemp in these others, and what is rising, but also agriculture, the disconnect of how few people search ag, you know, or farming.
Related to hemp, you're saying?
In general.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So that's just that same disconnect, right? If I had to go out and kill my own food, or if any of us did, how many of us would be vegetarians versus going to the grocery store and buying our meat off the shelf?
Right.
And the same thing for, you know, our practices. If I'm not gardening and I'm very disconnected to the soil, my awareness or my active efforts to fix the soil or, you know, become more sustainable or regenerative, I think is less. And so anyways, off on a squirrel.
Just a reminder to garden this weekend.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about production and the process of production. Do you mind on taking materials to end markets? And
yeah, wow, production. What an awesome, interesting space to be in. You know, production, as we know, you know, you have these major producers, India, Vietnam, China, you know, Brazil. There's like certain places that are major production output producers of manufacturing from all sorts of place industries, especially fashion, textile. And, you know, I used to manufacture overseas and it was amazing in terms of the cost is much less and sometimes this or that, but in access, the other thing, but also you hit barriers and obstacles. You know, you have barriers of language, barriers of turnaround times, barriers of laws. And then you have, you know, there's all this carbon output and emission and energy to take one to the other, where it's like, why? We want to ultimately set ourselves up in a way in this new future that we're building to create within our communities. And so, you know, we're in Los Angeles. It's a major hub. It's spread out, but it's a major hub. There's a lot of stuff happening here. And one of it is manufacturing in apparel.
Yeah, I was going to say the fashion industry.
Yes, it's a lot.
Yeah.
You can manufacture here, you know, so whatever, the prices are a little higher, but in reality, it's actually you win because there's a lot less output you're doing to make it here. Plus you want to fulfill your community of people and give them work. That's amazing. And there's enough to distribute everywhere that we can do that. And so when I was manufacturing overseas, I saw obstacles. I'm like, I got to switch it up. And plus I want to be much more eco and ethical in the way I do things. So it took a minute to test people out and find the team, but I did, and it's been great. And I try my best to want to continue to manufacture out here, and we're doing it. We've been doing it for the last 10 years. I love it. And we're going to continue to move this way. We're working with third generation leather makers that are now working into our materials. We're working with a second generation Guatemalan family that does factory cutting for us downtown. And so there's a lot of cultural people involved, so many hands involved. You will appreciate fashion when you see the number of hands that pass through an item.
That's what I don't think everyone. People don't get. I shouldn't say people. I didn't get it. I thought, call me, I'm embarrassed to say this.
You're a scholar. I was there.
I thought that we got fabric and literally it just like went through a machine and cut and sewed and shipped in a box. I did not realize the number of hands, like you said, that touch a garment and the value of, and I think this again goes back to the paradigm shift that we're seeing, or this need for a shift to, when I buy a plastic bottle or a t-shirt, the impact that it has compared to the dollar that's spent, right? And what are you, you know, how are those two things connected or disconnected? Mm-hmm. You know, and it seems like, yeah, that's not thought about. You know, this $5 plastic water bottle or $1 plastic water bottle actually impacts the earth for this long compared to, or a plastic t-shirt compared to, you know, a natural fiber t-shirt that may cost more up front or at the register, but then actually has a positive benefit or a neutral benefit, right, to the earth. And yeah, I just...
And you're okay. And we're all there. I have family members and friends who still don't know. And whenever I have conversations, I'm there to just share. And, you know, and it's good because we shouldn't be hard on ourselves in that we just didn't get the information. We didn't know. But once we know, we're like, oh my God, I got to tell you this. And it's like, and that's amazing. And so that's what a part of being in the community and raising the awareness. And ultimately we will be in a space where we'll shift and people will start to merge into these better ways of living cohesively.
Yes. Okay. So I don't know who this is, but I love this comment and I love your sound system also.
Thank you. Oh,
amazing. Yes. This morning, and love that sound system you have back there. That's awesome. 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 Okay. So, materials, I want to talk a little bit about California, because California, I was just recently there. And again, like you said, or somebody else said, mentioned the water reduction and the ability to save water, you know, converting from some of these very water intensive crops, say almonds, for example, and the impact that you make there. But then also how close California is to transportation, right? Mm-hmm. And so being able to consider, you know, all the international travel or the international distribution also, that's right. It really is a hub.
Long Beach or the major railroads going throughout the state, it's major. Yeah.
And the, you know, we can't deny that Larry's crop and Tom's crop was pretty impressive. You know, I am curious, of course, that there's always a question, and I'm curious, you know, what does scale look like for that size of crop compared to a fiber grown crop that's closer together, not grown as long, blah, 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 you know, on the carbon production side. But I think California undoubtedly, you know, is an ag state that supplies the world with agriculture. And so the ability to grow multiple times throughout the year and grow for longer, it's something we can't forget about. Land cost, I think, is definitely something, you know, that we're aware of. But, you know, more and more as the industry grows, especially in the fashion space and it as a hub, you know, the benefit to growing, manufacturing, processing all in the same area becomes very powerful and very exciting when you talk about, you know, ease of supply, maybe not cost, but the ease of being able to get supply initially.
Thank you. Within communities and especially in areas, we have the capacity to do that. And we're getting there, but that's an important point you make. And California, thank you for giving props to California in that way. It's major ag over here. I grew up in the Central Valley and it's all but farms and peaches and almonds and you name it. It's all grapes. It's all here. And the water drought situation, it's an issue, you know, and we have to find ways to capture water. I know in Monterey Bay, this like cool communities like capturing water through the mist and the dew and they like then the water rolls down and, you know, we got to figure out ways.
It's like, we only have a little while. We want to make the best impact. So how do people support, you know, how can people really best support you and moving the project forward? How can our community come together to really support an end product? You guys, we've got product moving into the market. We've said for a long time that, you know, if we could just get one or two things onto the shelves and hear Parv and her team have multiple products in the textile space that contain hemp or are 100% hemp that become that product. So yeah, I'd love to know, what can we really do?
Yeah, well, what you could do definitely is support our brand. And when we say support, it really means, you know, it's either supporting in what we're doing and sharing the information, or it's supporting and purchasing a product. And when you purchase a product, for example, you're wearing it, you're feeling it. It's a part of your lifestyle. You know, if it's a tote bag, you're walking around with it, you're talking about it. And so that's really what it means. And I'm not to say for ourselves and any other brands that are doing it. I mean, of course, we'll talk about ourselves because we're here, we're kind of introducing the brand, but really it's being a part of it, wearing it, feeling it every day, and then also sharing ideas about it. And once people really start to understand its beauty, its longevity, its strength, you know, hemp has so much strength. It's one of the strongest fast fibers. And so, you know, once you start to see that, you'll appreciate it more, and then the shift will occur.
Okay, so there was another question on here, and I'm looking at your website, drooling over these bags. So it's kind of funny, but I saw a comment here, John, and hello, it's good to see you as well this morning. It says leather alternatives are coming from mushrooms now as well. I believe Luke is also working with material from mushrooms, or maybe not, but I remember having this conversation. Are you familiar, and are any of your materials using?
Very familiar. I've been watching the leathers via mushroom space for some time. Mycelium, a lot of it's coming out of Indonesia, which is awesome. And other places, there's one in Israel that's also cultivating hemp mushrooms. And to be honest with you, I've seen it. It feels and is supple and moves just like leather. It's kind of like doing like the Pepsi Coke test, right? You like have them both there and you're trying to taste them both, but they look the same color. And well, that's really what it is that it has the same appeal to it. And this is the future when you have brands that are there to promote the product, especially high-end brands that are starting to, you know, jump on the bandwagon, as we would say. And that's amazing that even leather laws are changing, fur laws are changing. Now companies are starting to ban fur. And so, you know, when you have these sort of movements happening where leather cultivation and people, what it is I believe you have to shift a society over by allowing them to kind of get comfortable with them. We all hate change. It's like, oh, I have to shift, you know, but once we're there, we're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And so it's always like getting over that one step. And mushroom leather has been very promising. It's been a winner. And that really allowed hemp leathers like Mirum to come aboard through the proof of something like that, through other materials, through this coconut hemp to come aboard and you know, go into that space. So it's also a trailblazer. Mushroom's a trailblazer.
Oh, it's so, I'm more and more impressed. And I know that there's a couple of people that have been on our call today that I saw that have connections to groups or are specifically working with mushrooms for the building space, which is really exciting. And I've seen some really cool for like packaging and yeah, I'm that girl that goes to the farmer's market every weekend and spends an hour at the mushroom booth because it's just, it's fascinating to me.
Yeah, mushrooms is another material. What was that?
The health benefits that are coming up more and more from them. So,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's another plant that is really, you know, our best friend. It's our best friend.
It just makes it, again, it's this shift, right? Where we as a society and as people have gotten away from, from the natural and from the plant-based medicines and the, you know, organic materials. And so you really see it starting to shift back, or I hope. I definitely have.
It is. That's all.
I agree.
I want to say one thing on our website. When you go to cruise around and explore, everything is custom made. The navigation, it's fun. You'll see some funky animations. There is a mushroom on there. His name is Hachitaki. And Hachitaki was designed by my co-designer, Seth, and I. And he's basically an advocate for plant. You can see him, I think he's under All Goods. And he's a plant mushroom that talks and kind of shares insight into the plant world and how amazing plants are. And so he'll start to come alive in the coming months and just kind of give little snippets of awareness with plants.
I love it. I love it. Okay, well, I'll spend some time on here. I am definitely going to look. I noticed, too, you have some different textures on your bag. I would love to, chat more. I'll get you on the phone. I'll call you, and we'll definitely get a bag order, and you can walk me through some things. But if anybody else has any questions, one more time, how do people reach out to you if they want to chat or want to maybe partner, get some business going? How would you recommend they reach out?
Yeah, so definitely we're all about social media as well. So you can hit us up at Namastate. And also you can hit us up on the website. So it's namastate.com. And there's also an email there if you want to just email us directly. We can have a conversation. We're here to learn. If you have like connections with people that want to bring their materials out in use for fashion, like let us know. We're here to experiment. And yeah, thank you. I want to just give a quick shout out to my team as well. Thank you guys all. Robin, Seth, Amanda, Will, and Fuad, Brooklyn, Rufino, Miguel, David, and the whole Namastate family. Thank you so much. Thank you to this amazing community with some great questions. And I just love that you know, I see people are, they're intentionally wanting to change and shift and know and learn, and as we all are, and I'm hoping that what we bring will allow you to explore the space more and get into it. So yeah, thank you.
Absolutely, I love it. I would love to share your link also in our newsletter, so I'll reach out and get that from you so that we can pass info on. Like I said, this is really where, as an industry, the best thing we can do is get more material out there and support those that are putting product onto the shelves. And so, I would love to continue to push this. I love what you're doing in California. I love the connections that you're working with. I think it's great. I'll definitely have to come out. I am going to be in LA here in the next little bit. So I'll connect with you. Maybe we can visit. And then if you ever come out to Salt Lake again, I would love to rub your shoulders.
Love it. That was a great magical place to meet. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Any last words before we close or sign out?
Yeah. Thank you all again. This is so amazing. I'm so into this whole community and what's happening, and let's continue to raise the awareness and wear the awareness.
I love it. Oh, I like that. Mic drop. Okay. Well, you guys, thank you so much for signing on today. It was fabulous to see all of you. Rachel, thank you for your comments. John, Ionic projection. I don't know what the name is. I need to know your name. I would love to see who you are, but thank you so much, you guys, for joining. Join us again. Log on to our friendsofhemp.org website or globalhempassociation.org, where you can find upcoming events. I will be up in Corvallis in a couple of weeks. And there is a hemp feed conference that you can log on our website that we just published today. It will have great, great information, a very science-based, talking about the hemp feed and animal feed industry. So I'd love to have you guys involved there. If there are, again, any topics or people that you're looking to connect with or interviews that you would like to hear, please give me a shout out. Send me over some referrals. I would love to invite people to join, or you yourself. I would love to have you on as a guest and really highlight what you're doing within the industry to help make connections. So other than that, Parv, thank you so much for joining. I really, really appreciate everything that you're doing. It looks like one more. Are you receiving sprintable fiber from China?
That is actually, we are working in the Henan region. That's one of the stronger regions with Larry Serban. Actually, yep. He's been working with them for 25 years. So he has a really strong bond with them. And yes, and you know, they're on the forefront of sustainability. We got to commend people for when they're doing, you know, great things as well. So
straight. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. Yes. Yeah. Awesome. Larry's a great connection. Again, another shout out. If you don't know Larry, check him out on Hemp Traders. Yeah. He's also been a great support of Global Hemp Association. And so, okay, well, Parv, thank you so much. Thank you to your team. Thank you so much for my dress.
I'm absolutely enjoying it.
I will have a bag here pretty soon.
Awesome.
Thank you again for everyone else. Please join us at globalhempassociation.org. Your membership and support means so much to us. We're excited over this next couple of weeks to really start producing or putting out some data about our seed trial. So I'll make sure that you get it. Tune in, holler if you need me. And besides that, we'll see you, I guess, next week. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you all.
Hey guys, it's Mandy with Global Hemp Association. I just wanted to give a quick shout out and say thank you to all of our incredible sponsors. We couldn't make this happen without you. If anyone else is interested in sponsoring, don't hesitate to reach out to me. We can make it happen. Thank you again.